Hi, Robin.
Hi,
So I'm here with Robin Hull. And Robin, will you tell us your title?
yes, I am an artist and I'm also the cultural curator at Art Ovation Hotel.
Yes. And I'm not interviewing you about your position at Art Ovation Hotel. I am interviewing you, as you said, as an artist. As part of my Anatomy of an Artist interview series, I interview people who make their living or their life within art, which is so very clearly what you do. So I'm explaining to Robin that I don't have a series of set questions. I really have one question that I start with, and then we see where it goes. So my question is, how did it start? How did you find it? How did it find you? Did it draw you? How did it get started?
Well, I like to describe my artful journey with drawing on walls with yellow crayons as a child in Texas, somewhere between the ages of 3 and 4.
Were you encouraged to draw on the walls? Did they mind? Were you punished? What happened?
No, I wasn't punished. It wasn't necessarily encouraged. I don't remember why I started, but it just started.
Yeah. Well, that is not an uncommon response from people, that I don't know why I was drawn to this particularly, but there it was, which is kind of what you're saying, right? Yeah, just look right to me to pick this up and make lines with it, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what's the next step then?
Oh, so the next story that also represented some of my talent innately was that when I was in preschool, it was at a church. And we were doing a whole mural on the wall in the classroom for Christmas. And I was told to draw the sleigh with two people in it, Santa Claus and someone else. And I looked to the kids next to me. And I saw how the first head was round and the second head looked like a crescent, therefore showing perspective. And so when I drew this like that, my teacher said, "Oh my goodness, this child already knows how to draw perspective. That's amazing."
How old are you?
I was probably 5 or 4.
Yeah, right. So this is instinctive, right? And then also it's applauded, it's encouraged, right? It's right. It's great. Okay, so
Yes.
five, you already know you have this thing, right?
Oh,
So
definitely.
yeah, so what happens after that? Do you take drawing lessons? How does it grow?
Well, immediate steps after that, I don't remember as well, but I know I always loved art. So from there on out, I was drawing and painting. And I moved to Maryland around the age of 7. And when I got to Maryland, I got involved with Girl Scouts and with school. I loved the art teachers. And so that was always my favorite part of the day.
Well, wait a second. There was an art teacher? Not all schools have an art class or an art teacher.
No, I was very lucky in grade school in Maryland.
Did you get any response from your family?
Oh, definitely. My mom was always encouraging because I remember one time I had to draw a fairy, and for some reason I didn't feel confident with my fairy, so I made my mom draw it for me. My dad was also encouraging. I mean, he was a professional in glass design, so he worked with architectural buildings that were being put up and helped design how the glass went in. So I was always really fascinated with that. I remember going to work with him.
So it clearly this connection to art begins at the very beginning of your lives. Were you thinking that you would be an artist? Did you know what that was? Or did you have an idea that you would be something else and then suddenly discovered that there was art?
No, I never thought I would be anything else, honestly. I wanted, when I was in high school, I mean, that's when you start thinking about college or maybe even in 8th grade. I knew I wanted to go to art school, and I was always very supported in that decision. I think it was even in eighth grade before I got to high school, I applied for the GT art program, which was taking place on Saturdays every week during high school. So I went to school on Saturdays specifically for art all day.
And it was a choice, right? So
It
I'm
was a
assuming that
choice.
you loved it. Yeah, you're making a point that is so important and that everybody doesn't get, and that is that you did have encouragement. You had encouragement from your family and you had encouragement from school. And so that's some kids, don't get that. They have to figure out how to find that in themselves. So you are really lucky. So, okay, so did you go to art school?
Yes, I did. Back in the day, you put together your slides, like old-fashioned regular slides, and get them all printed at a special photography store and take it with special film and do the whole nine. So I had great teachers who helped me do my whole portfolio. And then I had to do two whole physical sets because I applied to two places. I literally only applied to two places. I applied to Pratt Institute and I applied to MICA, which is Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore. And I did not want to go to my backyard in Baltimore. I wanted to go to Pratt in Brooklyn, New York. And so we went on a field trip, my mom and my sister and I, and we toured the campus and I was in love with it because it had green space and trees and it was New York. And that is what I wanted. So that's where I went for 4 years.
And so you got accepted.
I got accepted. Yep.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. So Pratt. Woohoo.
Yeah.
So talk about your experience at Pratt some and what you think it did for you or didn't do for you and like that.
I mean, overall, my experience was very positive. I really enjoyed everything from start to finish. I went. And the first year they put you in the foundations program. So I took light color and design. I took 3D design. I took drawing. And then of course there was like an English class or something.
They threw
Yeah, they threw in the liberal arts,
it
But I loved those classes. The drawing class, I remember my drawing instructor, her name was Michelle, and she was so energetic, She would like dance around the room to get you to draw with more energy, and I was enthralled. The other classes I was in, 3D design, I hated. It was just that like the modeling, the 3D physical stuff, I actually did really well. I created this really cool lamp designed based on a wise eyes. I just remember thinking like inside those eyes, there were like lots of little eyes. And so I made this whole lamp that was like round circles and wired it together and sewed the f fabric over it. And that was like my favorite project was making that lamp.
Sounds a little scary.
I guess I was inspired by a fly flying around my head
Right.
in the
Fly
classroom.
So, okay, none of us can stay in college forever. So what happened?
Well, I do just also want to say I was so immersed in college. I stayed up every night super late, and I probably slept 3 hours a night for 4 years. So who knows what that did to me.
I just want to say, if you know Robin, she never stopped doing that. She's in perpetual motion, right? So okay. So yeah, it's again, it's wonderful. I mean, this is really the description of someone who finds who she is very early and is encouraged to become that person, to be that person, and pursues that with everything that she has. You went at that, the hammer and tongs, you were in it, right? It's really lovely. So okay, so then you get out of college and what happens?
So I get out of college and I hadn't been misbehaving at all. I had been hardcore working on my art every day, all day. I was not a partier. I did not go out drinking. So immediately upon graduation, I probably just misbehaved for a little while because that
Made
was
up
fun.
for it.
Yeah, you know, you have to.
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason I was misbehaving is I was working at a coffee shop. That was my part-time job. And I got promoted to like nighttime manager. So every night for about 6 months, I was closing the coffee bar at 10 or 11 o'clock and going next door to the alibi.
Conveniently, right next door.
Conveniently. And it was a wonderful thing because if I brought him two large coffees from the end of the night's pots, I got whiskey.
Seems fair to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so did you say you did that for about 6 months? Did I hear
Yeah, for
that right?
about 6 months. And then I got a job at the New York Central Paper Department, which was three stories. People came in and looked at the catalog of papers that was kind of like up on the walls and like, movable sheets. And they would make a list, and I would have to run up and down the stairs with my colleagues to go collect all their papers, roll it up. And we had some famous people come in. It was really cool. But anyway, that store was fun. And the whole time I was working there, I was also plotting my escape from the United States. I wanted to travel and work in the arts. I really wanted to do something extremely impactful. And so I found a job at a cultural center. It was called Okatse Abrashevich, and Abrashevich is an old poet. And it was located in Mostar, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Oh my God, how did you find that?
Well, I had also, along with going to college, knowing that I was going to go to art school, I also knew I wanted to do some volunteer work after I graduated. So the church I'm affiliated with is the Church of the Brethren. And they have a volunteer program called BVS, Brethren Volunteer Service, and it's what the Peace Corps was modeled after. So I decided to join BVS, and I didn't do it until I found a project I wanted to go to, which was the cultural center in Bosnia. It was the only art-related volunteer project I had found, and I just knew that was perfect for me. So I applied to that. I went to the orientation. I got my project request, and then I went to Chicago, and then I went to Switzerland, and then I rode the train in Europe all the way down to Bosnia and
Oh
Herzegovina.
my God.
Yep. And then the bus, lots of buses.
Wow. This was quite a journey for a young woman who really hasn't been anywhere before that. I mean, you're home in New York City, right?
Actually, no. I had gone to Paris and Italy right after I graduated college. So I went with a girlfriend. We flew together and then we split up and then we flew home together.
So you were pretty brave. This was not a stretch for you. This wasn't a scary thing for you. This was something that you wanted to do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so tell us about your experience in Bosnia. Did you have to learn the language?
Oh, yes. I read books and I studied the language before I got there, but I'm not very apt to learn a language from just studying it in a book. So
Yeah.
it was really all about getting there and being immersed in it and studying with my friends while I was there and letting them speak to me in Bosnian and just hearing it. And, I kind of pick up on the audio part of it.
When you say I listen to my friends, do you mean Bosnian friends?
Yes.
Yeah,
Well,
right.
I mean, there was a mix. There were French volunteers. There were two other previous American volunteers there that we then replaced, but we overlapped with. And I actually did go with another volunteer named Lauren. And I don't know how long she stayed. It was either 6 months or maybe a year. She couldn't handle the like easygoing, natural environment of Bosnia. Like there's a specific cultural vibe that they have and the way they like exist. So she went to Germany because that was more structured.
So, but could you be more explicit about the fluidness of the Bosnian culture?
Well, I would just call it, relaxed, like, enjoying life. It was very much about enjoying life. And it's kind of a typical thing that they would sit around drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. It was also about family and being connected. It wasn't rigid. I mean, it depends because there were a lot of religious connections to most populations there. And so it just depended. But like with any religion, there were people that follow it strictly and people that don't. And then the group that I was immersed in were all kind of like rebels because they were, the anarchy types,
I see.
right?
So you fit right in.
Yes.
Yes, you found your people in Bosnia, right?
I did.
Oh, they must have loved you.
I love them. They love me. It was
Yeah, I'm
great.
sure. I'm sure it was that was a magic, a marriage made in heaven. That you were perfectly right. Okay, so how long did you stay, and why did you leave?
Well, for 2 years, I was there committed as a volunteer, and then I extended for a third year because I was loving it. I didn't want to go home. And then I actually stayed for almost 4 years total. The last year I was there, I was living on savings I had collected in New York. And I basically left because despite having a few jobs here and there to support myself as well, I mean, I would substitute teach for one of my friends who taught at the Egyptian Village orphanage. So we would, I would go there and I basically earned 10 marks.
Which is
Which is like $5.
yes,
And back then the exchange rate was basically half. So yeah, but that was enough to like get a piece of bread for 10 days in a row.
Well, you stayed as long as you could survive, is what it sounds like.
Yes.
Right.
Right. I basically ran out of money and ran out of emotional capacity to live there. I did fly back to New York. I had a cousin that had moved to New York, so I stayed with them for a couple nights. I had to go back to my parents, which is not what I wanted to do. They were divorced, and my mom lived in a house in Virginia, and my dad lived in an apartment in Maryland. And I was like, well, where do I go? How do I decide what to do here? And by the way, coming home was a disaster. I had lost my mind. I literally didn't know where I was. I got off the train at the wrong place after arriving to the airport. My cousin had to come find me in a hotel because I was like sending these nonsensical emails.
Were
It
you
was really,
disoriented?
I was disoriented. My re-entry was not smooth. Yeah.
Do you know? Was it something physiological, or was it you just didn't want to do it? You didn't want to be there. Do you
I
know
mean,
what
probably both,
I
it was this emotional reaction to
mean?
coming home that I didn't want to experience.
Yes, and I imagine I'm making this up, so tell me if I'm wrong. You had been so, I can't think what the word is. It's clear about what you want. I wanted to go to art school. I wanted to go to Pratt. I wanted to go to someplace where I could do my art internationally. Oh, good. I want to go to Bosnia. You had been so, I don't know what the word is about that. But now you were coming back to, I don't know what do I do now? Do you think there was any of that in it?
Oh, 100%. There was ambiguity, there was, confusion, there was uncertainty. At this point in my life, I had no idea where I wanted to live, what I wanted to do. It was also 2008, and it was not good for the economy at that time, so getting a job took me forever. I started off at my mom's house for a month. And I made friends and I just kind of like embraced the culture of my mom's area, which is kind of Nowheresville, Eastern Shore, Virginia. And one of my favorite things I did there was make a video of myself. I set up a camera on the kitchen counter and I sat at the kitchen bar and I sat on one side speaking to myself in Bosnian, and then I would get up and walk around the counter and speak to myself in English.
Oh my
Like,
God.
this is how messed up my brain was.
No, it's brilliant. It's pretty, it's all you are is right there, right?
Yes.
Well, amazing. Did you do anything with that video?
I think I have it somewhere. I did not do anything. I had Facebook, but I don't remember ever posting it or anything like
Wow.
that.
Talk about inventive.
Then I moved to Montana and I lived with my sister for about maybe 2 or 3 months until October. And that was a beautiful thing because it was really nice to be with my sister for that amount of time. And then I had an art show scheduled back in Brooklyn in October. So it was all my art from Bosnia and Herzegovina, the small pieces that I could bring home in my suitcase. So I did this whole exhibit of like drawings and watercolor paintings. And that was super nice. So yeah, so I had to come back from Bos from Most from wherever I was, Montana. And I went to Brooklyn for the art exhibit. And then I went back to my dad's house and spent the most time at my dad's house until, because that was closer to Baltimore. So there were more job opportunities. And my first job back was actually barista at Starbucks at a grocery store, not a freestanding one, at a grocery store. For 6 months, I was a Starbucks barista, and then I became a Starbucks manager, and then I became an assistant store manager to the grocery store. Well, I tried to move up. There were like 3 levels of assistant manager, and then there's GM, and I tried to move up, but I never passed the test. And that's obviously not what I wanted to do. I wanted to leave and go to grad school.
So,
So I left and went to grad school.
where did you
And
go?
I had ordered in bulk this series of 36-inch canvases, and I was painting all of them. I was like still working, I was making art. And I tried to get into grad school with those, but they weren't what grad school was looking for yet. So I applied 2 years in a row, and the second year I got into a post-baccalaureate certificate program at MICA, which is Maryland Institute College of Art, which is where I had applied as an undergraduate that I
I
didn't go
remember that.
to. So now I was going to go there for a year and work on my art and see if I could get into grad school the following year. And I did. And then I went to Pennsylvania Academy of the Fine Arts, and I just really explored like abstract painting. I had everything I did was on the floor, Helen Frankenthaler style, Jackson Pollock style, pouring, squeegeeing, mopping, all kinds of crazy things. It was so fun.
It must have been lovely. I can see it when you talk about it, when you talk about the art. And you haven't talked that much about actually painting, actually being submersed in your art. And you can see when you talk about it, it's how connected to your essence it is and how important it is. So you went to graduate school and explored this other, it just kept exploring. You just kept exploring. Yeah, so how long after that, before you wound up in Sarasota, Florida, at Art Ovation Hotel?
A lot of things happened. I graduated from grad school. I worked at a lot of different art jobs, galleries, community centers, nonprofits. I was never quite satisfied with what I was doing. And, I was working at a nonprofit actually closer to DC, and I realized I wanted to get into higher education. So I kept applying to colleges. But I didn't actually have that much experience teaching outside of like extracurricular adult, community center classes. So either way, I kept trying. And then I found out from a friend that there was this residency program in Florida, in Sarasota specifically, at this hotel, because she had left her job during the pandemic and moved in with her parents. So she was there at Art Ovation Hotel and found out about the residency, told our other friend, Monica, and then Monica told me and said, you should really try this. And I said, okay. So I figured out how to get on the schedule. I packed up all my art. I was so meticulous. I inventoried everything. I had an inventory book. I signed everything. I de-ringed everything. I was totally ready. And I drove myself by myself in my little Scion, packed with all my art in the back of the hatch, and I went down to this residency, and that was in 2021. And
Wow.
then I wanted to go again, so I invited myself back in 2022, and that was the year that the cultural curator position had opened up, and the general manager spoke to me for 30 minutes as I was cleaning up that that week, at the end of the week, he was talking to me about how he needed a balance of creativity and business, and that I really had that. And he was really interested, and I was like, really interested. I was like, what's the salary? I was like, tell me how this would look, you know? And he was like, and his suggestion was, if you or anyone you know is interested, then give me a call. And I said, yeah, 3 days later, I'm back in DC and it's cold and I am interested. So it only took a month to get me hired and onboarded. I moved down. I drove in one day. It was April 16th and my first day was April 18th.
That was 2021, 22,
22.
22. And here we are in 26, right?
Right.
And you have worked so hard to create what they want to do at our Ovation Hotel, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay. This is an amazing story. This is clearly the story of an artist. A person who began drawing on the walls, you know, and never stopped. But it's also the story of a courageous and experimental and refusing to be stopped or put off. I mean, that is amazing qualities, Robin, you know, and they don't always go together. Quite often you think of artists as being a little flighty and, you know, a little with their heads in the air. And you are not. You have your feet on the ground, you know. You know what you need to do and who you are, and you pursue that with a serious diligence. I think quite impressive, really amazing. And I don't want to forget, coming up is Art Lab.
Yes. So
This,
actually, there's
yeah.
two things coming up.
Yes. Tell me.
So first, I'm going to come back to the residency studio starting
Oh.
August 4th, and I'll be there until August 9th. And I've got a whole new series of paintings for that.
Oh, wait, hold on. You have to explain that to me. So are you saying that the residence studio,
Yes.
people come to the studio and view your art?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, explain it in case other people are not familiar with how this works.
Right. So, as an artist, typically you have to apply to the curator and you get scheduled for a week in the studio and you come in person. But first you install your work yourself. You get to sell your work, put up your own price tags or make a price list. You're very independent for the whole week. And then you get to come in person from 4 to 8 in the evening or whatever flexible hours you decide to ask for. And then you have a party on Friday night. And it just so happens that the same week I'm doing Art Lab on Saturday night. So I'm really maxing out the art capacity here.
No kidding. So how do they show up for you at the resident studio? Where is it?
The hotel's at 1255 North Palm Avenue. And the studio is right across from the bar on the first level.
And you're just there all day?
Not all day, mostly in the evenings.
Ah, I see. So if they come to Art Ovation Hotel and they come into the lobby,
The lobby.
yes, then your art will be up there. And if they're lucky, you too will be up there. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Yay. All right. And so say something about Art Lab.
So Art Lab is also a fantastic experience organized by Gray Productions, Stephanie, and it's basically an entire event with dance and performance and music and spoken word and photography and fine art. So I believe I'm one of three artists exhibiting with that experience,
Wow.
and that exhibition is where I'm actually going to take some of my 5-foot paintings from my post-baccalaureate certificate program when I was at MICA. That was the first time I painted that large. And I have kept those paintings on 5-foot stretcher bars and moved
Wow.
with them multiple times. And some people would think that's crazy. However, they've also been exhibited multiple times, so it's very important to me to keep them intact. But they happen to be a series about dance. One of them is titled Moment in Black. The other one is titled Red Dancer. And the other one is titled Calypso. And
Wow.
these three paintings are going to be featured on the wall in this space that is called Allure.
Do you have the address for Allure and the time or any of that?
Actually, yes, I was just looking at my flyer. It is 1001 Central Avenue in Sarasota.
And what time, and is there a price?
Yes, so it is 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and tickets are $25.
Yes. Yay. Well, I will certainly be there, and I'd like to ask, when you think back on your journey, and you have had an extraordinary journey, so is there anything that you would say about your life, about the way you've chosen to live till now? And I can't wait to see what happens from now on. No, seriously, to sort of look at the whole, if you can, and say if anything comes to mind about what that looks like for you, what you think about it, what you feel about it.
Well, what's coming to mind initially is from the start of my journey in the arts, I was always conflicted about how I was serving other people with it.
Ah.
And so that was part of the reason I wanted to volunteer. That's part of the reason I love being a curator and being able to help other artists. But even back all the way before that, when I was a kid in church, we had a question and answer session called, Ask the Elders. And my question was, how am I serving God by making my art?
Wow. Did they have an answer?
They said, just by making your art, Robin.
Yeah. Oh, that is a perfect place to stop. Oh my God. I could not have scripted that. You do your service with your art. It's brilliant, Robin. Thank you very much. I can't wait to see the 5-foot paintings. And I will see you on Friday then, and I will see you on Saturday, and I hope everybody else also will be there. Thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.